It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here at 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. And of course, on the 77 WABC app. This show, the Mind Your Business show on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and business categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer. Thank you. Thank you also to the team at Bottom Line Marketing Group for their support role. Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Ellie, Dina, thank you. And of course, to the great support team here at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you very much. Also, a special thank you to the special mention to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpocha Magazine, the monthly column that we have, the Take 5 column. In fact, in this coming issue, we're going to have a sneak peek at the upcoming interview that we're going to be having with the founders of Warby Parker. You heard right. If you're a subscriber to Mishpacha Magazine, you get it. Otherwise, it will be on the newsstands. The founders of Warby Parker will be a guest here at Mind Your Business. And we had a special segment, therefore, in the Take 5 column in Mishpacha Magazine. We're also on C-Suite Radio, Player.fm, Audio Boom, iTunes, YouTube, C-Suite TV. And on C-Suite TV, in fact, the latest episode is the interview we had with last week's guest, Sam Walker of the Wall Street Journal, who came out with his new book, The Captain Class, The Hidden Force That Creates the World's Greatest Teams. And as I always mention, all episodes are available on the dedicated website to the show, WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. And you can follow me on social media. In fact, today's guest, the relationship started on social media. How do you like that? My Twitter handle is YSaftless, YSAFTLAS. That's my Twitter handle. Facebook, you could find Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless. There is a dedicated YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless, and all the previous, many of the previous videos from these episodes are up there. And just again, we mentioned last week's guest was Sam Walker. Some recent guests that we've had, and I want to stress, all these episodes are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. This wealth of information. The interview we had with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Shep Hyken, world-renowned customer service expert, Paul Massey, Cushman & Wakefield, he's running for mayor of New York, Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Captain Sully Sullenberger, Steve Sadov, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. We've had executives from GoDaddy, Zappos, Blink Fitness. We had Rich Marin, the CEO of New York Wheel, James Rosebush, former senior advisor to Ronald Reagan. Yes, he talked about flying in Air Force One and also what it's like to work with a great communicator, Ronald Reagan. Well, without further ado, we're going to tonight's guest. I have none other than Ray Hennessy in studio. Ray is the chief innovation officer at J. Connolly and has been a media veteran for over 25 years. He held various leadership positions in prominent media companies such as Fox Business, and the editorial director of Entrepreneur Media. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss how to keep your company relevant in today's media-saturated world. We're going to also talk about dealing with crisis management. And, of course, we're going to talk about a topic that's been requested so many times, AI. If you don't know what AI is, I'm going to say Google it, but I'm going to say it's artificial intelligence for those that don't know yet. But AI is going to be a big topic of conversation tonight as well. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Ray Hennessy. Ray, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining me here and taking out of your hectic schedule. Well, tell us about yourself. You're the Chief Innovation Officer at J. Connolly. First, if you could tell us, share with the audience, what is a Chief Innovative Officer, Innovation Officer, and tell us about J. Connolly.
Let me start with J. Connolly. J. Connolly is a communications and marketing firm, big consumer practice, financial services. What I do there is really figure out how how those clients there can evolve in the way that they're communicating using new technology, using new ways to speak. When you think about where media was when I started out, I was a newspaper reporter in Trenton, New Jersey.
Wow.
without the internet in our newsroom,
right.
And then evolved to the point where traditional media is still there and still is a power and it still is important. But we've seen the rise of non-traditional media. So individuals, thanks to the internet, individuals and influencers are important and have audiences. The platforms themselves, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, they have audiences. And now more and more brands are doing their own news and trying to be part of that conversation. So really helping people think about the ways that they communicate and the opportunities that they have in that marketplace and how evolving technology and the way media works now works with messaging. So that's pretty much what I do for the firm, and it's a lot of fun because it's something different every day.
Wow, and that's the innovation rubric.
Right, yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely. Now, as the Chief Innovation Officer, perhaps you could share, why is it so critical for a media company to remain at the forefront of technology?
I had mentioned before when I started in newspapers,
right.
I was one of 120 reporters and editors at that newspaper, which was the Trenton Times in Trenton, New Jersey. I was just back down there recently. The building itself is gone.
Wow.
I believe they have 5 or 6 editorial employees. And that's in the span of about 20 years since I've left there. And 20 years is a long time, but it shouldn't be that long to wipe out an industry like media,
right.
Because that's how we've competed. So I think where media got lost was forgetting who the audiences were and who was actually reading them. I always tell this quick story about there was a day when I worked on a Sunday at the newspaper. And I was the only person there answering phones. And I had a big front page story in that Sunday paper. I was very proud of it. And the phone was ringing off the hook with people. And I was answering the phones in the newsroom. And it was everybody complaining that the inserts, the little circulars and coupons, weren't in the paper that got delivered. And I finally got very huffy with one woman on the phone. And I said to her, ma'am, she said to me, what am I supposed to do with this newspaper if I don't have my coupons in it? And I said, well, I have this great story on the front page. I have no idea what you're talking about, of course. And at that point, I should have known that, there are certain people who will always tune out the medium of that's being delivered, and they would want that paper for different reasons. What we've seen, particularly in the politically fragmented media now, is that people want and have the option of not only going to media that they think serves their own worldview, but also having conversations outside of that media about that. And so if you're not really on top of the conversations that are having around the storytelling that's going on in media, and by the way, this isn't just in media, this is in brands too. There are these very organic conversations happening on the social media platforms that if you're not involved in that, if you're not both listening to it and then engaging with that, you're going to lose control of your own story. And that happened to media. That's happened to brands with a lot of high-profile brand blow-ups recently. And so you really have to be ahead and think of the risks of saying certain things, doing certain types of stories, alienating your audience, and also figure out a way to continue to challenge those audiences so that they continue to learn and grow.
Just a side question that popped into my head, and this has nothing to do with political affiliation, but as an expert, would Donald Trump have won the presidency if not for Twitter?
It's an interesting question because I don't know the answer. I know that he is very popular on Twitter. He's also very unpopular on Twitter. What no one's been able to answer is how many of the people who got to know him during the race got to know him because of what he was tweeting, or simply got to know him because of the message that was there and that was in the underlying electorate. When, you know, everyone wants to figure out what happened in that last election, and I'm one of them, and I'm not actually smart enough to know. What I will say is that the audience was ready for a character as president who was representing a lot of those views. Whether or not it was Twitter, I don't know. I do know that he is not necessarily using Twitter as effectively as president as he was as a as somebody who's campaigning. And I'm sure they're looking into that, and I'm sure there's nothing they can do about that either.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah. But, of course, the basis of my question is the fact that he was able to circumvent the media, meaning that outlet that he had to whatever the amount of Twitter followers were at the time, 18 million, 20 million, whatever it is, that suddenly he had a way of thumbing up the media and saying, it's okay, I'll go directly.
Right, what we hear a lot is that the media is dead or is shrunk. The one area where I'll disagree with that is he didn't circumvent the media. He understood how the media had changed and had gone directly to the audience. So when we talk about media, we talk about the traditional news media. That has become less and less important than their own audiences, who in many cases, and by the way, individual journalists within these journalism organizations have become more important than the organizations themselves. So insofar as what he did was found really an affinity network of people who had common beliefs and got them all together and created, you know, a good messaging strategy within them, that's not so much circumventing traditional media as it is beating media at its own game in trying to aggregate those audiences. And the check and balance on, you know, when I started, even up to when I was first in television in 2007, there really wasn't a check on what we were doing except for other media. Like, you would do something wrong, and then somebody in the other media would say that was wrong, or you'd have somebody call up and you would have to make a correction. Now, when you get something wrong, you know about it because you have a million people who are tweeting that you're wrong. That tells you that the audience's role in media is stronger than ever, and that's a huge opportunity to do what I think Trump did. And to the heart of your question, I think you're right. Whether you're a politician or you're a brand, you both have the opportunity to find the audience that you want, whether they're voters or customers, and figure out a way to go directly to them and bypass a lot of the opportunities within the media, or use media to complement that direct outreach that you have.
Now, from your experience over 25 years doing this, you've engaged with numerous platforms. You talked about the Trenton paper that you worked with, TV, radio, mobile. How important is it today for I'd like to split this question in two. How important is it for a company to engage in all form of media? And then really the other side, how important is it for media to acknowledge even all the other forms, like the example you told me about, you know, about a TV company, but realizing that you're reaching its consumers through digital?
Yeah, I think for a company, if you're not meeting your customers on every platform available, you're failing in your outreach. And, you know, the good thing about a company is a company wants to go to where the profits are, right?
Right.
And so you build a community. You look at a great company that does this is Avon, which has for years decided that it didn't just want customers, it wanted a community. So what all forms of media do, whether it's a podcast, whether it's social media, whether it's using your press apparatus, I think when you do it effectively, what you're doing is you're building and communicating with a community. And I think brands can do that really well because they know their customers, they know the customers they want. And so if their marketing strategy is smart, they know where to get out and find an aggregation of those customers and audience that they want, and then deliver things to them that can help support the work that they're doing. What's interesting about media is that media companies are companies. Media companies are brands. They've just never really been run well as a business. If you look at, you know, larger newspaper groups over the last 10 years, they've survived, and larger media groups, they've survived largely because billionaires have decided they wanted to buy them or invest in them. It hasn't been because the revenue has been there to support their growth. There are a number of people who I've worked with in the past, over the past, you know, a couple of decades, who are no longer in media simply because the jobs aren't there. They didn't make a choice. I mean, they left not of their own volition. They left because the jobs aren't there. So you've seen shrinking newsrooms because they've never really been run well as a business. Had they done the approach that consumer-oriented companies did and said, we want to build communities among our audiences and then we'll sell to them, I think a lot of them would be there. And I think you've seen that again. I will say, and not just because I worked there, I think that you know, when Fox News was founded back in 96, the idea behind that was to build a community first and then deliver news to it second. And so, and now you're seeing that more and more with particularly new digital media properties, where they're saying, this is the audience we want, right? It's not the news we want to cover, but the audience we want. And you build that first. And that's what I think brands have been doing for a while, successful brands that are using media more effectively. I think they've been doing that for a while. And hopefully media saves itself by realizing that it's not about who they are, but it's about who they serve.
Amazing. Another question before we go to a commercial break. Is print media dead?
No, I mean, it's interesting. I think the economics are different. I can remember working at a magazine where you used to give away the digital ads, and then the my last foray into magazines, we were giving away ad pages in magazines
print,
and selling
completely
digital.
Completely reverse.
But you know, people, you know, if nothing else, people still like to hold the physical product. I think it's shrunk. It becomes less important, but that just puts I don't think that changes the quality of the journalism in any of these publications simply by the medium that it's being delivered. If anything, when you have to start thinking of yourself as a media brand, and how you deliver that becomes less important than what it is that you're delivering.
My guest this evening is none other than Ray Hennessy, the Chief Innovation Officer at J. Connolly and a media veteran. Before we go to commercial break, I want to remind the audience that our giveaway this week, in fact, well, it's the first time I'm mentioning it. The giveaway this week is the book by last week's guest, Sam Walker. The new book, The Captain Class, The Hidden Force That Creates the World's Greatest Teams. Well, if you want a teaser about what the book's about, you can listen to last week's show by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Or C-Suite TV, and you could watch the 22-minute segment on video. But to win this book, one lucky winner is going to win it. All you have to do is send a text to 64600. 64600, put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. It's that simple. Send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB, and you automatically enter. And by the way, if you've entered and if you won or you haven't won in the past, no worries. You can enter each week anew. It's, every week is totally open. Feel free to enter. So again, just one more time, want to remind the audience, send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB, and you're automatically entered to win a book. The book, The Captain Class, the Hidden Force That Creates the World's Greatest Teams by Sam Walker. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Hi, this is Yitzchak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzchak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. And of course on the 77 WABC app. Well, my guest this evening is none other than Ray Hennessy, the Chief Innovation Officer at J. Connolly. And we're having some really fantastic and meaningful conversation about the media world today. And, of course, the takeaways on how a company should be branding itself, should have a great understanding of all the media resources that are out there. And then, of course, we're going to get to some other topics, including AI, in a moment. But, Ray, you know, recent technologies have made it possible for virtually anyone to be a reporter or even to set up their own media outlet. I mean, you take InfoWars, right? Alex Jones, as an example. You know, how has this upended the industry?
Well, first of all, what's interesting about I like history. So, okay. And one of the things that I always go back to when people say, how is it that these common people or these people who were not traditional journalists able to build journalistic enterprises? And the fact is that content, however you're delivering it and whatever medium you're delivering it, has been at the hands of ordinary people for forever. Like, again, leading up to the American Revolution, people like Thomas Paine were writing pamphlets, right? Common Sense, which galvanized the country. You know, we sold the Constitution through the Federalist Papers, right? These were pieces of content based on the media that they had in front of them, which was at that point pen and paper.
Right.
What we have now is just technology that makes it a little easier, but the instinct to do that is still there. And, you know, when people say, how can these people do that? I always say, whether you agree with them or not, what every successful individual person, whether they're a media celebrity, whether they're an influencer now, which is mm-hmm. very big in influencer marketing, what they saw was a market need and a market that felt that they could absorb certain information, and they wanted to see that information, and they took advantage of that. So I just think what it does is it makes it what you're seeing is, like, prominent people have done it, people with, like, disruptive ideas have done it, really historically with whatever media is around them. What is interesting and different now is that anybody can do it.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, my daughter could set up her own media company today. And if she's smart enough to deliver very good content and have very good engagement and has something good to say and people will follow, she could be bigger than the New York Times.
Wow. Amazing. The barrier to entry is so low.
The barrier to entry, by the way, for almost every business now is so low. The reason we've seen this, I was editorial director at Entrepreneur Magazine, as you mentioned, for a while.
Right.
And one of the things that I was amazed about was that we always talked about, like, companies being funded for because they had a high barrier for entry. Finding companies that have a high barrier of entry right now are next to impossible because you know, the ability to get technology, to build technology platforms, to build the technology that runs your business is there. You even look at something like Uber that's worth billions and billions
right,
of dollars.
Right.
Uber doesn't own the cars. Uber doesn't own
that's
the
amazing.
Drivers. Uber owns an app. Uber is essentially an easy-to-use app and then a marketing apparatus to get people to drive and to get people to ride. But the fundamental technology isn't nothing that's mind-blowing. I mean, it's great. It's a great user experience. But what's the barrier of entry to a great user experience? Mm-hmm. It's almost nothing.
Fascinating. By the way, like you mentioned, walking down memory lane history, maybe you could talk a little bit about your days at Fox. I mean, you interacted with Megyn Kelly. I mean, you know, again, going back to your Fox days.
It was a wonderful time. I was only there for about 5.5 years, and mostly what I did was help get the Fox Business Network off and running and grow nice. That. But nice. It's been I know they've been in the news lately, and it's been sad to see because it's affected a lot of people who I've known. But it was the one thing that I don't think people know about that place, and again, it's very controversial and people are very critical. It was a surprisingly entrepreneurial place to work, where you were given a lot of autonomy and you were allowed to build things. And I think that's rare in media, and it's one of the unheralded factors in why it was successful for all that time.
Oh. You interacted with Roger Ailes. You had a relationship
all the time.
Amazing. And Bill O'Reilly.
And yeah.
Now listen, they're you know, I mean, Roger's gone.
Yeah, it was sad because Roger hired me and Roger fired me. Uh-huh. You know, I think other people have said very good things about his legacy that I agree with, and I think will be talking about the impact that he had on media for years to come.
Let's move on to Entrepreneur Media.
Yeah.
Your role there.
Entrepreneur was interesting because of the time, right? We are in this explosion of entrepreneurial America, right. Simply because right. of, the access to technology. And the access to get a good idea out into the world. When I look back and I think about how companies were built in the past, you could have a good idea, but you really needed a lot of capital to build it. The amount of capital you need to build good companies nowadays is much, much smaller. It's why, you know, Back in my career, I covered the IPO industry, so new companies. I wrote a column in the Wall Street Journal every week on new companies that were coming out.
So you were part of Wall Street Journal?
At Dow Jones for about 10 years of my career. I know.
Sam Walker last week.
Yeah.
Nice.
And in that time, we had, I think, I don't know the numbers, but there were 8,000-9,000 public companies. There's half that right now, and the reason is you don't need to go to the public markets to raise capital anymore in a lot of ways because of the regulatory environment and and a lot of other reasons. Availability to get capital is there because your need for the size of the capital you're trying to raise is low. And so what that does is that creates a lot of people who had good ideas, who wanted to build companies and wanted to really help customers, disrupt industries, all that stuff. Their ability to do that was higher than ever before. So, I mean, that's great because that's fundamental American right. capitalism, right? I mean, that's what we're based on. And people more and more are taking their economic futures into their own hands. And everybody benefits from that because, again, good, successful companies, good entrepreneurial companies thrive because they solve a client need.
Right.
And so all right. the consumers benefit when that happens, right? So being an entrepreneur and more than the stories we were writing and more than the magazines we were putting out and all that and the conferences we were holding, the best part about that job was actually sitting down and meeting and talking and having conversations with these people of all ages and all backgrounds who were really trying to solve problems that they saw in the world through the capitalist system. And so, you know, for the 3 years I was there, it taught me more than at any other point in my career, wow. just about the power of what business and good messaging around business could do for consumers and for business owners.
Fascinating. My guest this evening is Ray Hennessy, Chief Innovation Officer at Jay Connolly, and worked at Fox, worked at Entrepreneur. He is a media veteran, but he's a young guy, so don't worry. I shouldn't say, even we've had all ages, and they've always expressed really fantastic ideas on the business world, and that's why, that's what we seek out week in and week out, to get C-level executives that really could provide great advice and perspective from their view of the business world. Well, before we go to a break, I want to remind the audience that our giveaway this week is the book by Sam Walker of the Wall Street Journal. He did many years of research. In fact, you could listen to the interview we had with him. It's up on the archives at wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com. And, of course, the video is on the C-Suite TV network. That was a special edition. But one lucky listener is going to win his book this week, The Captain Class. Everyone else, you could still win by going in, out and buying it. It's on, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in bookstores nationwide. It's a Penguin Random House release. But if you want to win a copy, all you have to do is enter by sending a text to 64600, putting the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. It's that simple. Again, send a text, 64600, put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business, and you'll automatically be entered to win. One lucky winner is going to win the Captain Class. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-7364. 500 seniors. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500 or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroel Saftlis right here on 77 WABC at 10 p.m. And, of course, around the world at WABCBizRadio.com and on the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening, none other than Ray Hennessy, Chief Innovation Officer at J. Connolly, and media veteran. He's been at Fox, Entrepreneur, and is really sharing a lot of very valuable information on understanding the media industry. And of course, now we're going to talk about AI. We teased everyone. And we're also going to spend some time talking about how a company really should focus on their own communications. And we're speaking with someone who knows more than a thing or two, is very intelligent, and has a lot of experience. And therefore, Ray, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Having a blast.
Thank you. Let's talk about AI, artificial intelligence. Now, I mean, here's the cover of Fortune magazine, how AI is changing your job hunt and what the new algorithms want. Here's a column in Cranes New York Business. Here, robots next victim, white-collar workers, as machines learn to think, what jobs will be left for humans? I mean, you know, this is just two out of millions of articles that have been written on AI, and AI is, of course, here. It's been here for a number of years, and of course, everyone's coming around to it. Let's talk about it. First, even for those that maybe don't really understand what's going on, what is AI? How do you define it?
Yeah, that's actually the toughest question, right? So artificial intelligence is really the process of making decisions, making intelligent decisions that humans would make with a level of intelligence, but without any sort of human interaction. So It's interesting. There have been artificial intelligence functions within computing forever, right? I mean, that's a lot of what we did as computing advanced was trying to figure out what sort of productivity could be gained if we had computers make choices and make decisions that otherwise we would. And a lot of that was, again, when you look at automation was about the function of work, right? So assembly lines that could all be robots putting things together, right, without any sort of decision making to it. What AI did was allowing those same robots to do work and automate work and making decisions that, let's say, lower level people would otherwise make, because they're made simply by probability. But we know when we make decisions that, you know, human brains take probability into consideration, but certainly can't do the computations that that modern computing can. So really, when you think about AI, you should think about it as, in what parts of our lives are we already incorporating it? A good analogy is, a lot of people have cars with GPS systems. And, you know, I know I do. When I get in my car, even where I know where I'm going, what I will do is I'll put on Waze or one of the GPS and let that tell me how to drive. And so it's making a decision of a route for me.
Right.
And then you incorporate that into autonomous cars, which are developing. And now my car will soon be making the decision of what route that I'm going to take without me putting any sort of function down. So that's, you know, that's what's happening. And it's happening in all industries. And when you think about, and we're letting it, right? We want it to. When you I gave a talk not too long ago that was entitled Pitching Alexa, because so many people have Alexa devices or these home devices, right, where they're asking questions, they're getting information from it. And so right now we're in a position where if I say, hey, Alexa, you know, what time is X movie playing? It will tell me where it's playing and what it is. We're not far away. I mean, we're actually very, very close to the point where I can say, hey, Alexa, what time is X movie playing? And it'll say, you won't like that movie. You should just rent Caddyshack and watch that at home, because you're going to be wasting your money. And when you think about, you know, we have a lot of financial services clients. And, you know, I remember being in television at the time of the financial crisis and seeing how fast capital left banks, so that banks ended up collapsing because people were making the decision to pull it out. We're not far away from AI functions acting on behalf of clients rather than their financial advisors, rather than their banks, knowing their clients' preferences, being beholden to no one but their owner, right? Making those decisions for them in a blink of an eye. It's one thing, you know, there's red flags at a bank. Maybe I should pull my money out. Maybe I should transfer it to this one. There's a thought process that goes in that we as humans bring emotion. We bring a lot of things into it.
Right.
We're not far away from an AI function saying, there's a yellow flag at the bank. I've already moved your money to this bank. We can talk about it later. You know, and also how we communicate more and more. When you think about how you communicate, how big brands communicate with the audiences we were talking about, who are things on social media, there is a certain AI function. There are bots involved that have these canned responses to people. Those are getting better and better and better, similar to the old, like when you call somebody up and dial, you know, press one to find this.
Right.
Like those communications platforms are getting better and better by incorporating AI. So you could be talking eventually in the next 2 to 3 years to a computer that's responding to you in a way that a call center might otherwise respond to you. Because really what we empower, like overseas call centers and things like that to do for customer service, doesn't take a lot of thought. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence to do, because they all have lists. They all have checklists. They all have to. So you can replace people like that with an AI function. But think about that. That's a change in the way we interact. And, you know, somebody said, well, would we ever be comfortable relying on a piece of technology like that? And I asked this person, do you sleep with your phone next to you? The first thing that you do in the morning, do you look at your phone? Because that's what's made it so comfortable, is we're carrying around computing with us. In a way that I don't think a lot of people other than, you know, Star Trek ever envision. But we're doing that. So these machines are making decisions. So as communicators and as marketers, we have to market to machines as much as we have to market to the end people. So if we're not thinking about that, we should be, because time's running out. The technological advances that keep happening in these areas are so fast that even the people working on them are finding that their ability to synthesize the data that's being created from AI is far beyond their own minds.
Wow.
So things are happening now that you know, and they're growing on their own. They're growing organically, and they're growing in these environments. And we're just sort of, it's the tip of the iceberg.
Wow. Now, Warren Buffett, we all know, he wrote that he predicts, how AI is going to completely disrupt, you know, the economy. You touched on it, but maybe you could even elaborate on this. I mean, it's obviously such a big subject, but...
So you have to think, you first have to think about the functions and conversations and goals that you really don't want to do in life, right? So again, if you can, you know, when you take AI and then you you pair it to something like nanotechnology, which is like building things at the very, very small microscopic level, you can look at an industry like toothpaste and then oral care,
right,
where... you know, essentially, you're not brushing your teeth anymore because you have a function, a nanotechnology function driven by AI that goes in and cleans your teeth on a regular basis that you don't even feel, you don't even see. All you have to do is check with that. There's research, there's work being done with that. Well, then, what does that do to a toothpaste company? What does that do to a toothbrush company, right? No one would ever thought that a toothbrush could be a buggy whip, right? And so what you have to do is take advantage of that. When you look at healthcare is the perfect application for a lot of this stuff, because again, we have a lot of, you look at cancer research, which because of things like immunotherapy and the genetic work that we're doing with cancer is so research driven, and we wait to figure out expected outcomes by actually working on tissue in a lab. AI functions can figure out now probabilities of how certain drugs or certain treatments might work for cancer. And we're probably, again, 5 to 10 years from those AI functions replacing a lot of the research that goes into it and saying, you know what, we can get better clinical outcomes if we do this and that and X, Y, and Z and try this and working it out and understanding and doing that high-level thinking. And so that's exciting in some ways, and you'll still need cancer researchers to help move that along and really plug in the data. But what AI does is it really makes us understand that we're all just data crunchers. Every company is offering a product that's based on data, and just the decision making is just going to be outsourced to people other than us.
Now, this is a question that's really on everyone's mind, and that is the prediction that AI will result in a massive amount of jobs, or is it that the technological advancement and natural outgrowth of capitalism will ultimately create more jobs through it, because using this information will just create new industries, new businesses, new ways to communicate with people, et cetera?
I think you have to change. Industries will have to change in the way that they monetize.
Okay.
I look at the music industry, right?
Right.
So when the first iPod came along and digital music was developed through an iPod, and you were spending 99 cents for a song instead of buying a whole album or a cassette or a CD or whatever, it changed the economics of the industry. And people said, you're going to kill music, right? This is going to kill music.
Right.
Well, you're not killing music, right? I think people have found a way to make money doing art in the music industry based on the technology that's there to distribute what they have. I don't believe that. I think there's a knee-jerk here on a lot of people saying the robots are going to take over our jobs. In a lot of ways, robots have already taken over our jobs. In a lot of heavy industries, in even things like, you know, energy exploration, things like that. So much of that is AI and business function. That's here already. But that doesn't mean that there's no human beings involved in that, right? And that doesn't mean that there isn't a need for skilled work. It also doesn't mean that there isn't a need for unskilled work. I think this is one of, rather than traditional industrial automation, what AI threatens in terms of a job is that white-collar worker. It is that worker who relies on intelligence. It's the academic. It's the researcher. It's the technologist. It's the people like me, right? It's those folks who are more threatened by this than what traditional just plain pre-AI automation did, which was take over factory jobs and take over those functions. But that doesn't mean that we don't have blue-collar workers in this country, right?
It's, of course.
People have found, you know, that there is a need for those skills. There's a need for that. And, you know, generally, you know, economics finds a way around these problems, and humans will find a way to not make themselves obviously obsolete. So I think the people who worry about that, yes, there'll be some job disruption, but that doesn't mean that we'll have a bunch of people on the unemployment line.
My guest this evening is Ray Hennessy, Chief Innovation Officer at J. Connolly and a veteran of the media industry. He worked at Fox, at Entrepreneur. We're going to take a short commercial break, but before we do, I just want to remind the audience, our giveaway this week is the book, The Captain Class, The Hidden Force That Creates the World's Greatest Teams by Sam Walker of The Wall Street Journal. One lucky winner is going to get it. All you have to do is send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. It's that simple. Again, send a text to 64600. Put in the letters M for Mind Your Business, MYB, and you're automatically entered to win. One lucky winner is going to win The Captain Class. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and on the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening is none other than Ray Hennessy, Chief Innovation Officer at J. Connolly. And a veteran of the media industry, and that's why we're having such a really meaningful and engaging conversation about how to understand the media business and how a business can communicate more effectively. In the previous segment, we talked about AI, artificial intelligence, really gave some great perspective. But in the remaining few minutes, and it's amazing how fast time goes on the radio. It goes very fast. I want to talk about and really pick your brain on how companies can really understand marketing and use it effectively. So a couple of points I want to bring up. One of them is, and you wrote a great column about it, the recent incident on United. And we all know, you know, there were a couple of people from United that needed a seat. They dragged someone off and kind of whatever, beat them up on the way, whatever. It was settled. Okay. But Ray wrote a really meaningful piece. By the way, I do recommend to follow him on Twitter. He is a great thought leader, a thinker.
That's where we met. I mean, we met on Twitter. Yeah,
it's amazing. And you'd see the links to his a wealth of his columns. You could also go to Entrepreneur magazine, and you'll see all his columns. He writes really a thought leader. It's fantastic stuff. And we're going to get to some of those columns soon, but You talk about you know, your take on crisis management. So maybe you could just share.
I think the biggest, and I know we're short on time, so the biggest takeaway that every brand crisis has in common is that people who are supposed to be stewards to that brand are too close to it. They don't have the outside perspective to understand that other people might think that what's happening is a really, really bad thing. We saw it with United, where the initial response, why United fumbled that response was because they decided to say everyone did everything right and we have our employees' backs. And what they forgot is that the only audience that mattered there wasn't the internal one. It was every air traveler in the world, because they couldn't believe they thought that their primary responsibility was to their own team members. You know, Pepsi had that with the the Jenner Pepsi ad with the Black Lives Matter imagery. Again, they thought that they were doing the right thing. That was done internally. They thought that everything, and they didn't understand what their real audiences want. So I think the biggest danger in, you know, most crises are really come out of people just being too close to their own brand, not understanding the implications of what they do. And it's not like you need to hire an outside marketing firm. It's not like you need to hire an outside PR firm to help you with this. Sometimes we're so siloed in our own businesses that we don't get even different perspective from the people we sit around who may be able to bring things. So I always tell people, like, you know, when I tell you you need another set of eyes on something that isn't self-serving because my firm is another set of eyes, I tell you that because there are other sets of eyes within your own building that you can put in a room and say, what's your reaction if we did this? What's your reaction if we did that? And then I think the second thing is, you in a modern media digital world, you have to act swiftly. There's no reason to not know that an incident occurs. Like with United, they should have known internally that was happening. And then your response should be just as swift, because you don't want to lose the narrative. You don't want to lose the string. You don't want to lose the story. And in the case of United, it did pretty quickly. And you find that. You find a lot of companies think that they're doing right. And I tell people over and over and over again, just because you think that you did the right thing doesn't necessarily mean that you did the right thing. And you could have done everything that you think is so-called right and still had a bad outcome. It's that old cliche about the operation was a success, but the patient died. You have to understand that you have to look for outcome, right? And we don't look for outcome. We look for process and we look for checking boxes. But if the outcome is wrong, then all those boxes that you checked off were the wrong boxes to check off. And that's common in every PR crisis that we see.
Such incredible perspective. You had another column, which I just really want to touch on, and it's so important, about storytelling. In fact, one of my guests recently was Christine Comerford. Mm-hmm. She wrote the book, the one about the tribes, smart tribes. Right. A really fantastic work. She's also a brilliant individual. So we talked about storytelling. And you have a great column here called Why No One Wants to Hear Your Story and How to Fix That.
Right.
Well, how do you fix that?
I mean, ultimately, people are not authentic enough. I think people like me and like you, I mean, you're in the marketing business, I'm in the communications business, we try to find like the perfect story. We find the perfect pitch. And a lot of times what we're doing is we're not seeing what those authentic stories are within. I mean, one of my favorite stories about that is there was a great automaker that was had a contest for people that they were going to give a truck away for. And what they wanted to was, you know, crowdsource a lot of great storytelling among the potential customers. And they were going to give away a truck to help support the sales there. So they found a veteran who had, I think, lost a limb. Mm. He had a small business that he really thought that truck could work for him. And the woman who was running the advertising program thought that they had really, this is great. This was a person whose life was going to be changed. He was a veteran. It had all the things. The company then put it through its internal process and found out that, you know, we have a separate program for veterans and this isn't a great car for the disabled. And he owns a small business and that would conflict with our fleet people. And so they took what is a really great authentic story about somebody who probably was the best person to win this car. And they trashed it for reasons that were really inauthentic. And that happens on a day-to-day basis at companies all the time. Don't be afraid to be yourself, right? People want to do business with you because of you. It's not necessarily your product, it's because of you. So be yourself. Be the most authentic person you can be. Show empathy to other people. Show them that you're a good person. Show them that you're in business, not necessarily for money, but to solve a problem, and money comes along from that. And you will never, ever, ever go wrong. And people will listen to that. People will respond to that. And the storytelling will be so much better.
Amazing, amazing. By the way, that you realize that you also gave some hope for us against AI.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's artificial intelligence. It's not artificial emotion yet.
Right.
And then we're
that
lost.
That may come.
Yeah.
Right. One more question. This is another column that I've seen online by you. Your hashtag and your brand go hand in hand.
Right. I think one of the, if you're looking for good Twitter advice, this is the one bit of Twitter advice that I give to people is pay attention to your hashtag. Understand that your hashtag in a lot of ways is your brand, and they have to be tied to one another, and understand the medium that you're going, because this is the way that people are communicating now through hashtags. That's the way that they're searching. That's the way that they're interacting with one another. That's the way that they're showing affinity more than a like than anything else is sharing that hashtag. And if you can get your brand to have a really strong hashtag strategy that really hits people, the audiences and customers where they are, you're going to succeed. And in a lot of ways, that hashtag becomes as important or even more important than your overall brand.
Ray, I can't thank you enough for joining me here on this edition of Mind Your Business. As we bring the interview to a close, any final takeaways?
I would just say the best advice I have about communicating nowadays is if you want to know how to reach audiences, communicate with them the way they're communicating with you. So if you're trying to get a young audience that's on places like Snapchat, stuff like that, figure out a way to go there. The audiences are there. You just have to understand what's important to them, and you have to communicate with them in the way that they're asking you really to speak with them.
Ray, thank you so much.
Thanks.
What an amazing show. Well, if you missed it, you're in luck. Tuesday following the show, it will go up at the on the site that's dedicated to this program, wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com. Well, stay tuned up next for additional programming here at 77 WABC, and tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.